turn to Psalm 84. That's for a little bit. And that's on this. It was quoted in Pastor Merrick's newsletter that I got, and it fits in with what I was studying today. Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord God is a sun. We think of the brightness of the sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The first thing that we should notice from this is that God is a glorious God. We see here in the first half of this verse, we see that he's a son and that he gives glory. He's not merely a powerful God who sits, you know, behind the curtain like the wizard in the Wizard of Oz, pulling strings in his universe, but hidden. This verse makes it very clear that God is all glorious. It likens him to the sun. And so there's this bursting out of his glory in a sun-like fashion. I don't know whether he could have created the universe in such a way that it wasn't comprised of orbs of light and heat such as we have, that wouldn't have needed suns that we have, but he did create. We have a sun that radiates both light and heat, and that by that means provides every living thing with the things that they have, good things that they have need of. And so this psalm is saying that God is providing everything with by means of his glory in that same way. That he is not, as I say, merely a hidden string puller, but he is a glorious God. The second thing to note is that he gives that glory. It's interesting because elsewhere he says, "I will not give my glory to another." He is jealous in that he refuses to condone any idolatry, but in a free fashion, he does give his glory, and that is central to this verse here. He is a son, says the Lord will give grace and glory. We see that in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when the apostle says, "It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness," so there's that same image of the sun, "who has shown in our hearts," he says, in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7, "to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So this glory has been given, and it's given to those ones who are, well, he doesn't say it here, but who are believers. Psalm 84 says that God gives grace and glory. What does that look like?
looks like the Lord Jesus. He is grace and glory. And that has been now instantiated, if you will, in the God-man, whose glory was veiled, but nevertheless apparent in his words and his deeds. And Paul is describing it here, and the reason that I had occasion to think about and to study it is because the glory was in some sense manifested, wasn't it, in this brighter than the sun manifestation of the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Paul never forgets that. He says, here is this glory, and I saw some of it. And so it's a theme with the Apostle Paul. He says, this glory of God is in his Son, and it is given, and we have it. And we are, in fact, given that in reality. And he would say that we're given that internally in the Holy Spirit. And he says it in the next verse. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We don't just kind of know about it. Paul experienced the glory of Christ on the road to Damascus. It wasn't, however, just a memory for him. It was a reality, an ongoing reality. He says, the God who's commanded this light has shown where? In our hearts, he says, in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4. So it wasn't just, well, I have to make sure I treasure this memory of this glory which was brighter than the sun. No, it's here. So God is not only glorious, he is giving that glory. And the believer has that glory in the Lord Jesus. And not only that, but he is giving it in a continuing, in an everlasting fashion. Psalm 84 is really a psalm of heaven. So when he says he's giving grace and glory, it is a picture, really, finally, of glory. Paul, again, in Romans 5, says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have that in our hearts, but yet, there is a fullness of glory that is yet to come, and that is cherished by the believer. That is final. That is a real glory. So notice that Psalm 84 is speaking about God the Father as glory. Paul is speaking about the Son as glory. Revelation 21 puts them together. And it says, God and the Lamb are their light, and they have no need of any other. Revelation 21:23. So the believer then has a hope, as Romans 5 says, hope of the glory of God. So God is, in fact, not only glory, he is giving that glory. Now, to go back to the first statement from Psalm 84, it says, the Lord will give grace and glory. And then the final statement of that is, no good thing will he withhold from those who trust him. No good thing will he withhold from those who trust him? And that is an argument from the greater to the lesser. If he gives of his very glory, this God who is himself all glorious, and he's giving that in the person of his son, what else won't he give? I mean, that's really Paul's argument in Romans 8, isn't it? But if he's giving of his essence and his own glory, and he's giving it in an everlasting fashion, what won't he give? No good thing will he withhold, the psalmist says. And so we have strong consolation. What when things go up, when things go down, either way, we have an everlasting hope of the glory of God. He is providing for us that which is good. If there's good, better, best, he is giving the best, and we can be sure that what he gives is good. And to the extent that we are unable, unwilling to hear that, to heed that, to live on the basis of that fact, no good thing will he withhold. But there is a damming up of the flow of the Spirit, you know, that living water in our lives as believers. To the extent that we are not there, there's a damming up of that flow of living water. Well, this thing that he's giving me, or not giving me, well, I know the scriptures say, no good thing will he withhold. It's very easy for us to say, to somehow have these reservations in our heart. And as I say, you know, our flesh, our busy little beavers, building these beaver dams in our hearts. But he's giving of himself. Right? He's all glorious. He has given the glorious Son. And the prospect of glory to come.